You're listening to Playing the Numbers Podcast, bringing you baseball numbers you don't know but need to know, and deep dives on teams and players around the league. Now, presenting your co-hosts, Avery Redd and Shane Mohan.
Madison Bumgarner tosses a no-hitter, the third this year. Trevor Bauer and Tatis, we're going to go over that feud. And the A's win streak sadly comes to an end. I'm Shane Mohan.
And I'm Avery Redd. Let's get into the numbers. What's up, guys? Back with another episode, weekly recap of Playing the Numbers Podcast. Well, another fun week. We had a no-hitter, I'm putting air quotes right now, for Bumgarner. I'm going to get into that later.
Right. We didn't count it.
Well, I'm going to get into that later, on my opinion on that. The Tatis and Bauer old thing going on. The A's win streak finally comes to an end, but it was a hell of a ride. And then a few other side notes we got, but you want to start off with the power rankings?
Yeah, I'll start it off with mine. I got the Dodgers coming in at one. We already fucking know these guys are on a tear, have been for a couple of years, and it's not looking like it's going to be any different. Followed by the A's, of course. Padres slid down a spot. Red Sox are still heating up. Angels, White Sox, Brewers, Royals, Braves. And I had to put my Phillies back in at 10 because I think they're getting their shit together.
All right. I like it. I had the same, of course, Dodgers at one. Still got the Pods at two. Got the A's at three. Boston, four. Milwaukee, five. San Fran, six. Seattle, seven. Mets, eight. Royals, nine. And the White Sox, 10. And big team that I've been seeing improvement from. I don't think it'll be sustained, but it's kind of fun to see. The Royals, five-game win streak now. Well, technically, this is covering the 19th to the 25th, and that happened today. So, but anyway, five-game win streak, 14-7 on the year, leading the NL or the AL Central. Kind of interesting to see them. I said at the beginning of the year they got a nice lineup, but if the pitching can hold up, they can do something.
Yeah, it seems like it, man. Honestly, one of the last teams you'd expect to be contending right now. I mean, I wouldn't even say contending, obviously, because we're still in the first month, but it's cool. It's cool to see it, man. Love guys like Mondesi, Soler.
Yeah, I mean, they got a nice lineup, no matter what you say.
Brady Singer.
Yeah. Slam Tana.
Yeah, and, of course. Man, that's the one that really hurts, man. That one really hurts because dominated in Cleveland, came to Philly, didn't do shit, and then right when he leaves, same old, same old. Mm-hmm. He's right back to the old days.
Had like one crap year with the Phils, pretty much. But no,
is what it is. We don't need him. We don't need him. We don't need him.
Oh, here we go. Reese Hoskins is doing well, though. I will give you that.
Reese Hoskins, how about B-Hart, bro? 13 for his last 26.
He's killing it. He's got a two.
He's on it there.
267 WRC plus over the last six games. And, yeah, screw him.
Hoskins hit one into Big Mac land tonight in St. Louis.
Yeah, I saw.
I was crushed. Waino was hanging curves all night, though, so I don't think – I mean, even though he held him to two, I think it could have been a lot worse because his location of that curve was awful.
Yeah, awful. I didn't watch much of him pitching. I didn't really watch much of the game, but I saw some of the highlights. But – I'm going to the Nats game tomorrow out in Florida at the Toronto Blue Jays spring training stadium. Still can't freaking play in Canada, but I think it's like their last series there of the year, and then they're going back to play in AAA in Buffalo where they played in 2020. So kind of cool that their last series there. I'm hopping out. Got to go support the Nets. Wait,
the Blue Jays are going to Buffalo.
Yeah, yeah. Remember they played there last year because they couldn't play in Canada because of COVID. So they played in their AAA stadium in Buffalo. But then to start this year, for some reason, they're playing in their spring training facility, which is not far from me. And this is their last series there. And then they're going back to Buffalo and they're going to start playing their home games there again until they can go back to Toronto.
Sounds exciting, man. Who do you got on the bump tomorrow? I know it's Scherzer versus who?
Trent Thornton. He's I think they're just going with like a bullpen game. And they're starting out with him, but he's been nice and never know. Might have a chance to see Tim Naismith.
Do we know when we're getting a George Springer Blue Jays debut?
I don't. I didn't know he was going to be out this long, but it's got to be soon because I heard it was only for 2 weeks when I first heard it. And it's already been, almost a month. So soon, but kind of sucks.
Well, I think this is our fourth weekly recap. So,
yeah, I think you're right.
Three, 4 weeks.
Yeah, well, I'll miss seeing him and I'll miss seeing Soto since he's injured, but still get to see the Nats, of course, and Vlad Jr., Bo Bichette, Teoscar, Dryjuck. So,
Zim. Gotta love Zim. That's a Phillies fan saying that. I love Zim.
Yeah, how can you not love Zim? Ryan Zimmerman is a legend. Nats legend. Not quite a Hall of Famer, but Nats legend for sure. But you want to move on
Who will the first Nats Hall of Famer be, in your opinion?
Oh, Scherzer. Easily.
Scherzer. Yeah.
Gotta be him. Do you want to move on to Team of the Week?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a pretty obvious choice. Curious, actually, who you had, but I had the A's as my team of the week.
Yeah, I went back-to-back week with the A's as well.
Yeah, yeah. It was a pretty clear choice. 13 in a row, which ended yesterday against the Astros in a 9-2 loss. Hey, man, this is
– You mean the Orioles?
Pretty much what I predicted, dude, from the jump. I had the A's.
Correction, they lost to the Orioles yesterday, not the Strohs.
Oh, really? I could have sworn it was the
I think it was. Hold on, let me check. Yeah, it was the Orioles.
Okay. I was looking. I must have been looking at the wrong Sunday.
Two orange teams, whatever. But, yeah, they went 5-1 this week. And finally went to came to an end. So that kind of sucks, but it was a nice little streak.
No doubt. And I did have them at the beginning of the year winning this division. And yes, I am still sticking with it.
I'm still going to stick with my prediction of the Strohs. But with that big win streak, the A's did open my eyes a little bit. So I got to tip my cap to them.
Fair.
And they didn't face, I mean, throughout the win streak, they didn't have the best opponents, but they beat the Strohs twice in it, the D-backs and Detroit and Minnesota and then Baltimore. But, I mean, to win 13 in a row against anybody is not easy at all.
No, I mean, there's aren't even easy games, too. Like, Minnesota's not a walk in the park. The Orioles are showing this year that they have some fight in them and they swept the Red Sox at the gates. Now, I don't know what they've been doing recently since then. I think they kind of leveled off.
I believe they are 10-12, I want to say.
All right. So, I mean, there you have it. We're maybe seeing a new Baltimore this year.
Yeah, you never know. You never know. But, yeah, I got to stick with the A's back-to-back weeks. They're dominating and should be fun to see if they keep it up or not. I like their lineup. So Matt Olson's raking. Canna's doing well. Chapman's struggling a little bit, my MVP pick, but hopefully he turns it around.
Yeah, I was just curious when why you went with him as your MVP choice. But if that ends up being the case, that'd be honestly insane. Because it's possible. It is very possible. I just that's the last guy I would have thought.
I was just kind of go outside the park a little bit because everybody's going to say Trout or there's not that many like clear choices in the AL, where in like the NL there's Soto, Tatis, Acuna, Betts, Bellinger. Like there's so many guys that you could pick to win it. But in the AL, I mean, you got Trout, then you got like Bregman, Jose Ramirez. I don't know. There's just not as many guys.
Yeah, no, you're right. What's crazy is that Trout and Acuna are actually leading the league.
In what, dingers? Or average?
I don't know.
In average?
Just overall offense.
Oh. They are raking. I mean, it's fitting overall, that Trout's, it's fitting that Trout's leading in average any time in the year, but 433. Yerman's still keeping it up at 429.
He passed Yerman tonight. Okay.
Yep. Hoskins now leading the league.
I saw earlier.
What was that?
Yeah, you love to see that, man.
I think you got to cut out for a second. Repeat what you just said.
Oh, I said you love to see it, and it's crazy because at the beginning of this year, I was shitting all over Hoskins.
Yeah, I remember you were
saying he'd be trade bait by the deadline.
Well, it looks like he's shutting your ass up, but I wanted to move into the bum.
He is.
I wanted to move into the Bumgarner no-no. And get your opinions on that. But first, I've got to say mine because it's kind of pissing me off. Because I heard they're not counting it as a legitimate no-hitter in the record books, which is bullshit because if you're going to count seven-inning games as full games, then why can't you count a seven-inning no-hitter as a no-hitter? I mean, what do you want them to do? Extend the game 2 innings so he can keep going. Like, he can't do nothing about it.
Yeah, but the reason, I mean, I have a little piece here that's kind of just like a small piece of the rules. I'll read it real quick. It says, according to the Elias Sports Pro, Major League Baseball's official statistician rate, neither a team nor an individual pitcher will be credited with a no-no in a scheduled 7-inning game of a doubleheader unless that game goes to extras. If the contest extends to at least 9 innings and that pitcher or team's group of pitchers has still not allowed a hit, then it goes down in the history books as a no-no. But bottom line there, all wrapped up there, is it has to be 9 innings. And I agree with it. I mean, it sucks because who knows, maybe he would have went the extra 2 if it wasn't a doubleheader and finishes it out. But let's go back in all like the last 100-150, however long baseball has been around, you've had 7-inning no hits, but they end it in the 7th, or they pull him, or he gives it up. Still doesn't count as a no hitter, you know, just because the rules are different this year and double headers are 7 innings doesn't mean you can change the rules like that. So I like that they're keeping it the same way it's always been, where it has to be full 9 innings.
I did not know it was in the rule book. I applaud you for bringing that up. But I see where you're coming from. I just think I'm fine if you put it in the record books, put an asterisk next to it, so we know it's 7 innings. Like, but I think you still have to be credited with it because there's nothing you can do that if they're going to count the game as a full game being 7 innings long, which they do, they count it as a full regular season game, 7 innings long. Then if you throw a no-hitter in that seven innings. I think it should count. Maybe you got to put an asterisk next to it. I'm fine with that. But let me tell you, let me ask you this. So say it probably wouldn't happen, but just for a hypothetical, say Bryce Harper hits 5 home runs in a game and it's a 7-inning game, and however that would happen, hypothetical. But say that did happen, then what are you going to do? Not count it because it's a 7-inning game?
That's a good point. That's a good point. Now, here's another hypothetical for you. Let's say someone's throwing a no-hitter through 7 and the coach pulls him. That's out of his control. But he still has the no-hit through 7 innings.
That's also true. But I feel like there's a difference because, yeah, they pulled him out of the game. There's nothing you can do about it. But there is, because he could have kept his pitch count down or do something like that. The game's still going on. I just feel in this situation where there's literally nothing you can do about it. Like, it doesn't matter what your pitch count is. It doesn't matter what's happening. The game's over. And you no-hit the other team through the whole game. And that's all you can do as a pitcher. I mean, what else can you do besides not allow a hit? So, I don't know. Again, I think if you put it in there, put an asterisk over it, I'm fine with that. But I think it should be noted in history.
Yeah, it's a tough one, man. It's a tough one.
I see where you're coming from.
I feel like they're trying.
I see where you're coming from. Like, I'm not disagree with you or anything, but I am disagreeing with you, I guess. But I know where you're coming from, so I see both sides of the argument.
Yeah, I think they're just trying to keep it as traditional as possible with the rules, you know? Like, then you start bending the rules, and then how does a guy that threw, like, how does Musgrove, you know, how do they credit his 9-inning no-hitter and say, oh, well, this guy threw 2 innings less, but we're still going to count his as a no-hitter, you know? It's
Yeah, at the end of the day, it is just easy not to count it and not bring up all this crap and not have people talking about it and stuff, so at the end of the day, it's just easier not to count it and move on with your day. But I think it should be noted. I think it should be noted in history, at least, and just people should remember it. It's a great achievement for him, and I think they shouldn't take it away from him just because he didn't have the opportunity to pitch another 2 innings.
Yeah, and whether it counted or not, all that aside, I think it's huge for him because, you know, I remember we were both before the season, we were like, hey, let's hope Bumgarner has a bounce back year.
Yeah,
I wasn't looking too good, and he started out of the gates absolutely awful. Like,
yeah, he was horrible.
Horrible. And here he is, found his groove and tossed a no-no. I'll still count it as a no-no.
Yeah, I'm gonna count it. When people ask me how many no hitters have been thrown this year, I'm gonna say 3.
Yeah. Yep. I would say the same.
And another thing about that, hey, it was against the Braves, so it's pretty solid to get Ronald Acuna Jr. and Freddie Freeman out more than once in a game. And B, Luke Weaver in the first game of the doubleheader threw a 7-inning, 1-hit shutout. I don't know if you saw that, but that's 14 innings, 1 hit for Bumgarner and Weaver.
Hey, that's huge. That's huge. I don't think it's going to matter because that offense is basically dead surrounding Ketel Marte.
And Marte's not even playing. But I don't know. I mean, not this year. And actually, it's hard to say because with the Dodgers and Padres, but they're not bad. They got Zach Gallen. They got Luke Weaver, who I actually like. They got Bumgarner, who's definitely not the pitcher he was, but he's a nice veteran presence. He's been there. And they got Ketel, of course. They got a few nice pieces. Carson Kelly, Eduardo Escobar, Cole Calhoun. They could pick up some guys in free agency. And I don't know. I think in a few years they could be talked about as maybe a wild card contender. But again, it's hard because the NL West is so stacked with Padres and Dodgers.
Emphasizing the words few years there. Definitely not right now.
No, yeah. In a few years. Well, speaking of the Padres and Dodgers, I wanted to talk again about how about the Tatis and Bauer thing? What do you think about that? And did you watch Trevor Bauer's video? I don't know if you follow him at all on YouTube, but
lot of people on my team keep talking about it, and I just at a rate kind of just escapes my mind when I leave there. Like, I don't really think about Trevor Bauer, but a lot of people keep talking about his videos, and really should have watched that one, because that's actually something I'm interested in, his opinion on it.
Yeah, as the year progresses, I'm kind of liking Bauer more, because I enjoy his videos. I watch them all, so obviously his message has been sent to me if I'm watching his videos. And
well, enlighten me to the video he just put out about Tatis, because I'm actually very interested in what he had to say about that.
Okay, so you know what happened. Tatis did the whole eye covering thing, and he did the strike when he crossed home plate, blah, blah, blah. So Bauer posted a video, and he was kind of like making a joke out of it. And he was like saying, he was like grading his celebrations. He was like, or he was like, I like this one. I'll give it an 8 out of 10. And then when he did like the McGregor strut, he was like, you kind of need a little more torque on the shoulders. And he was like making a joke out of it. It was kind of funny. But so he was just making a joke out of that. Didn't care, whatever. And then he got to the whole sign looking thing, whatever, when Tatis put his head down and looked at the catcher. And he was like saying, calling it Bush League kind of, and saying like, if you you want to know the sign, just ask me, I'll tell you. And I don't know, I kind of like the way he handled it. And I don't know, I don't care that Tatis looked down, whatever. It didn't look like he saw the sign. It's more that he saw the catcher framed up on the outside, so he knew an outside pitch was coming. It's a 3-2 count. He got a slider in the left. He got a slider in the left-handed hitting back batter's box. I still don't know how he fucking pulled that to left center field. Great swing.
It was a beautiful pitch. You know, we were talking about that pitch earlier. Yeah, it was a great pitch.
It was a great pitch, but it was a better swing. And I'm pretty sure. I don't think he saw the sign or anything. Even if he did, whatever. But I know he knew he was getting an outside pitch there. He saw that catch. He saw Will Smith frame it up. You could just tell with his swing. He stepped in, closed his stance up, threw his shoulder and geared up to try to pull that outside pitch. You could just tell. And
right.
But the thing I have a problem with is, say that's Jose Altuve or Alex Bregman or Carlos Correa. We're not even anybody on the Astros, just like a Juan Soto that people don't really like outside Nationals fans. And just a player like Bryce Harper that people don't really like that much, or somebody that somebody just doesn't like. Imagine they do that, and especially the Astros. Imagine they take a peek down at the catcher. Everybody's going to be talking. Everybody's going to go, oh, he's a cheater, blah, 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 blah. But when Tatis does it, oh, it's fine. He it doesn't matter. He didn't do anything wrong. Give him a break. Like, It's so stupid.
It is definitely Bush League, like Bauer said. And another thing is, you see a lot of catchers that will look up at the batter and mm-hmm. wait till he's looking forward to give the sign. And Will Smith was not doing that. So kind of fault to him for not being aware of that and not making sure that Tatis isn't looking. Now, it did kind of like a look like a last second kind of thing. And like you were just saying a minute or so ago, how I think he might have caught his shift to the outside half of the plate.
Yeah,
like setting up outer half.
Well, I don't care how good you are. There's no way you're pulling that pitch out the left center field unless you know it's coming. I mean, I'm sorry. It's not possible. That ball was in the left hand. It would have hit. If that was a left handed batter, it probably would have hit him on the thigh. It might
no doubt.
And
no doubt.
Fucking pulled that ball in the left center field.
I mean, yeah, it didn't barely get out either. It got up there in the bleachers.
I'm not trying to take anything away from Tatis. That was a beautiful swing and a nice hit, and it was cool to watch. But all I'm saying is, if that's not Tatis and that's Alex Bregman doing that or somebody else, everybody's going to be bitching about it. But since it's Tatis and he's golden boy right now, nobody cares.
Right. He's, you know, that's the second time we're seeing him break the unwritten rules.
Yeah. Again, like the 3-0 count, that's ridiculous. I think he was completely in the right there, but.
Yeah. I mean, maybe not unwritten rule. I mean, I didn't even honestly know that was an unwritten rule to not swing 3-0.
Dude, I mean, I kind of knew it, but like, you get, I don't care what the score is. I am paid. If I'm him, this is my thought. Like, I am paid to hit home runs, drive runs in for my team. That is what I'm paid to do. And if I get a meatball down the plate, I don't give a fuck what the count is. And I have a chance to send it over the plate or send it over the fence with the bases loaded. I am going to take that hack and fucking do that. Why the hell would you just look? Yeah. I mean, this is so stupid. Especially a young guy like him that's trying to make his mark and trying to solidify himself as a like a big guy over there, a franchise player. Like, he's going to do that. He's going to take that swing.
He absolutely is. But that was that. But now that we're talking about the peaking at the sign, I do, in all honesty, my opinion on it is it's kind of lame. It is kind of lame. And I'm with Bauer on it being Bush League.
Yeah, it is. It is a little bit. But, like, again, I don't care. I'm not, like, going to freak out about it. I'm not faulting them for it. But I'm just kind of more pissed off that nobody else is saying anything about it just because it's Tatis.
Yeah. Yeah, he's changing the game. That's the big thing with him this year. That's what they're really trying to emphasize when they're promoting the sport is game's changing. He's changing the game.
Yeah.
And they're not gonna bring him down and eliminate the big rising star that he is. And, you know, they're not gonna bring him down because of that. They probably love it, to be honest. They probably love it.
Yeah, whatever. It's all just thought of something that needed to be discussed. But that series as whole. That series as a whole, San Diego LA part two was pretty fun. San Diego took it 3-1, but that last game was crazy when they came back from 7-1, won it.
Yeah, it was cool to see.
Yeah, freaking Tatis picking it back up. He got 7 bombs already.
I believe he does have 7.
Yeah, he's got 5 homers in his last 3 games. Jeez.
That's big, man. That's big, especially coming back off the injury.
Yeah, I can't believe he came back so quick, but came back just in the right time. Padre, still 3 games behind the Dodgers, but taking 3 out of 4 in LA definitely helps.
Move on to the big man on campus in Philly.
Oh, man.
Bryce Harper.
He is killing it. And let's check out in his last 6 games.
13 for his last 26. Currently batting .329 with 6 homers. Now, I know we're not the biggest on RBIs over here at PTN, but it's only at 10. And I don't like that number just because it's a shame, you know. The Phil's offense needs to be on when he's up. They need to be producing base runners when he's up. And I'd like to see that part.
Yeah. No, you go. I don't dislike RBIs. Like, I think people in the advanced stats community just like throw them out too quickly. Like, I don't hate RBIs. I just don't think it's a good stat when you're comparing who a better player is. I don't think it's a good one to say, like, oh, he had more RBIs than him. Like, I don't really care. Like, that is all based on your team. And obviously, Cody Bellinger is
right. Right. More... So, like, if you're comparing RBIs from Harper to, like, we'll say Ketel Marte, right?
Yeah.
Like, you have a shitty offense versus a half decent offense.
Yeah. Obviously, Harper is probably going to have more RBIs because he's hitting in the middle of a pretty solid lineup, whereas Ketel is hitting. It's all about where you hit in the lineup as well and who's around you in the lineup. So I like looking at RBIs. It's a good number to look at for, like, is he clutch? Is he if I was, like, signing a player to a contract or if I was, like, a GM, I'd probably look at RBIs to, like, check out how clutch he is and how he performs with runners in scoring positions, stuff like that. But when I'm comparing two players, I just stay away from RBIs. So I think that's a common misconception around the advanced stats community that people like hate RBIs. It's just not a good stat to compare players with.
Yeah, I mean, he is batting in the three hole as well. So, I mean, I guess you can't really take RBIs that much into consideration, even though you do kind of expect your leadoff guy to get on more often than not. So, we'll see how his RBI count looks. Probably, I'd like to see him hit 100. You know, he hit 114 and 19. So, which honestly, I was very impressed with. So,
yeah, it was the first time he went over 100. Because even his MVP year, he only had 99.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, the goal is 100 for him, I'd say. I think that's a fair goal.
Yeah.
Maybe 110. But I think with him being, like I said, being in the three hole, 100 is probably a better goal. I think it would still be outstanding if he got there. So,
yeah, I agree.
Yeah. He's killing it, man. 330. And he started off pretty slow, too. Got what he's been getting walked a lot, wasn't really seeing his pitch for the first week or two, and now he's on a tear. And you got to say, I love it, man. I love to see it, and I just hope he can keep it up, because consistency is one thing that the Phillies have lacked for the last decade.
Well, that's definitely agreed upon. Well, another thing I wanted to keep, let's keep it in the NL East here, even though it was against my Nats. Jacob DeGrom absolutely dominated us. I mean, that was tough to watch.
Yeah, I mean, he's the best for a reason, bro.
Two hits. Listen to these stats. This is just over these nine innings that he just threw, his last nine innings. So, nine innings, two hits, no runs, 15 Ks. Not that I like FIP that much. But a negative
XFIP?
No, just FIP, not XFIP. Regular FIP. Negative 0.24. Negative. That's crazy. And a 0.53 XFIP, a 0.78 ERA, a 0.7 F4 in one game. I mean, dude's incredible. And even though it was against the Nats, I still love to watch him pitch. I mean, it's just exciting.
They don't call him the GOAT for no reason, man. He is a dealer. All right. I'm telling you, and everyone knows it. I'm not even surprised to hear you throw out these numbers. They're outstanding, and there's not too many, if any, guys that can put up numbers like that. I think he honestly stands alone in regards to stats and how superior he is to other pitchers, but it's honestly not even surprising to me, man.
Yeah,
I think he you could safely say he is the best pitcher in the world.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I agree with that.
Definite future Hall of Famer.
Oh, well, I don't know. It's tough to say because he is 32. He's kind of a late. He was kind of a late bloomer. Not a late bloomer. He won the Rookie of the Year, but I don't know. His career numbers aren't. I don't know. We'll see how he pans out, but I'd say he's.
I think he'll be fine in regards to Hall of Fame rep. I really do.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, just how dominant he was in his prime. I'd say you have to put him in. Yeah, but Ohtani. Fun stat on him. First starting pitcher to lead the league in home runs.
Since Babe Ruth, right?
Yep, in 1921. That's crazy.
Talk about a milestone.
100 years.
Yeah, that's a big milestone.
Yeah, he is something to watch. I mean, I think he's got like a 1.04 ERA and seven bombs.
Yes, sir.
And, yeah, I mean, Royals, they're playing really well. And five-game win streak over there. So, fun week. Tatis and Bauer had their little moment. Bumgarner's no-hitter that I'm calling a no-hitter. They got another fun Dodgers-Padres series. Harper's on a tear. Tatis is heating up. Ohtani's playing well, and I love to see it. Dodgers still on top of baseball. A streak comes in and fun ride. That's all I really got for this week. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, Hoskins, maybe he comes into being player of the month. Nah, I'm just kidding. But I think he might be. I think two homers tonight, man. He was the Phillies' offense tonight. So, and he's been doing this since week one. This hasn't been some spur of the moment random week. He's tearing it up. He's been tearing it up for the last 3 weeks. So, I would I'd like to see him break the hell out this week so he can be my next player of the week. But other than that, another great week of baseball, man. Three no-hitters. I'm counting it, man. I'm counting the Bumgarner.
Me
too. Three no-hitters.
Three. It's awesome. It's awesome. I can't wait to keep watching. I'm so fun year so far. Even I don't really care. I mean, obviously, I want to see my team do well, but even without the Nats doing – I mean, they're not doing horrible, but – it's just been an awesome year of baseball, fun to watch, fun to keep track of, look at all the stats. I love it.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, if you got nothing else, I'm going to sign it off.
Yeah. Another great week.
Yeah, have a great week, everybody. Watch some baseball. Maybe we'll see another no-hitter probably at this rate. And
Jesus.
Yeah, and keep watching some baseball, boys, and I'm out. I mean, I got nothing else. See you guys next week.
Yeah, with that being said.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Nice. With that being said, we'll see you guys in the next one. And it was great being here, as always.
All right, boys. See ya.
And before you click off, check out our sponsored segment, Anchor.
Yep, just check it out. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Anchor before you go and why it's the best way to make a podcast.
That will conclude this week's episode of Playing the Numbers Podcast. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. Your feedback is very important to us, so leave a review and tell us your thoughts. Check back every Monday for a new weekly recap episode and hear what went on around the league.